Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
It is great to have you in church with us this morning. Thank you for coming to hang out. Again, if you're a visitor, welcome. I just want you to sit back and relax. And it's already been a great morning, but over the next few minutes or so, what we're embarking upon for this coming month of Feb is our vision month. So what we're looking to do is just share with you the direction in which we believe God's called us to go as a church. The next steps for us as a church, we're certainly excited about that, and certainly as a leadership group, as we've been sort of discussing and talking about this and presenting this as a leadership group in the life of the church, we're very excited, and I believe there's a great sense of unity around what God's called us to. And you know, one of the things that we're about to present is, I guess, the next stage of our strategic plan. So in 2015, we revisited mission, vision, and out of that, assessed current activity and looked at, okay, how do we get to this clear picture that God's given us of His preferred future for us as a church? And so at 10 to 2015 takes us to 2025. So we're kind of halfway there. And when we kind of launched and presented this initially, it was certainly exciting. It looked incredibly big. And we're sitting here 5 years later, and we're incredibly humbled and grateful for the position in which we find ourselves in, of all that God has done. And when that was written and presented, obviously we weren't in this space and a whole bunch of things hadn't happened. So if you've never cast your eyes across our vision document, I understand statements, but I'm more of a kind of, for me, a picture paints 1,000 words. And so for us to paint that picture of who we believe God's called us to be, we felt it required a document. And so that document is on our website. If you go on our website, Who We Are, there's a new page that's been created just entitled Vision. And you click on that and it'll take you directly to our vision document, and encourage you to visit that regularly. And our hope anyway is that what you see and the direction and the decisions we make, all of those things should go towards seeing that become reality. We shouldn't do anything, even in our personal lives, for the direction God's called us, we shouldn't do anything that doesn't go towards seeing that fulfilled. And so hopefully what we're going to present this morning, you'll be able to read that document, have a look at, and if as you came in this morning, you should have received one of these little, just some notes for you to take home. What we did at the end of last year is team together, we again evaluated current activity and looking at our vision document, the direction in which God wants us to go. What are the next steps we need to take? And so this morning, what we'd love to do is present to you what the next steps are in terms of strategic plan implementation. But can I just say one thing that will overrule and override all of that is the voice of the Holy Spirit over the coming couple of years. So what we're going to present is 2020, 2021, and there's some big things in this. There are some things that we are calling all of us as a church family, all of us being called to action. And then there are other things that we'll quickly cover that a more specific task group are going to look after and make sure happens over the next couple of years. But the thing that will take preeminence always in this church is our need to be submitted, surrendered, sensitive to the guiding and leading of the Holy Spirit. So as much as we can have plans, and we should have plans, when the Holy Spirit says go, we go. And we make no apology for that. And that's what I believe we're called to do. So for those of you who don't know, on your little sheet there, but also on the screen, is our mission statement, which is, we believe as a church we're called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure, life-changing truth of Jesus. And that's full of meaning, and we don't have time to go into that this morning. And if you haven't done our DNA course, then that is where we get to explore that, and you get to test that and ask questions about that and the vision documents. So if you haven't done that, make sure you do that.
It's coming up soon. 2 weeks. Sign up at the hub.
So we've got our mission and then our vision, which you can read in your own good time. You're smart enough to do that. But the reality is, what we're about to present here this morning, stating the obvious, is that we need to do this together. The scale and task and magnitude of what God is calling us to do. I believe that as a church, in many ways, we punch above our weight, but there are many areas that we can certainly be doing get better. And I believe that God is calling us to step up, step out in a way that like we haven't before, and we'll come to that in just a second. But it's going to require a great sense of unity, and it's going to, and I'll cover what our word is for this year, which will make sense in a minute. But we're calling all of us to unity. There is great power in organizations. You see it in not-for-profits, you see it in corporate world, you see it that when an organization is united, that's powerful. But let me just say this, when we are united around kingdom purposes, we have the arsenal of heaven backing our every move. And that's exciting. That's when the supernatural, the miraculous, radical things can happen. And God can take 2 and 5 and he can turn it to 18,000. He fed 5,000, but if he had women and children, it could have been 18,000. So I love that God can take 2 and 5 that are given into his hand and he can turn that into 18,000. Does that sound good? So you can imagine what he could do with, you know, several hundred people that gather here and call this place home, the incredible impact that we can and will have. So we went through a process and we landed at these 7 strategic focus areas. And the first one that's critical, impacting, important, and urgent, Michael, is?
We're talking about our community engagement. So over the last few years, we have talked a lot about inward, outward, and upward. So that is what's next for you individually and for us corporately, inward, outward, and upward. And I think we've done a reasonable job of the inward and the upward. We've had lots of conversation about that. Lots of our sermon series have been about that. We've had our pathway of discipleship and blokes and chicks and presence nights and stuff. And we really feel like now is the time that God is calling us as a community to start looking outward. And so over the next 18 months, we are really excited about where God is going to direct us, the opportunities that are going to happen to engage with our community and provide opportunity for to serve within our community and have our community come and join us and experience what God can do in their lives. So as we know, as Phil has referenced numerous times, there's over 150,000 people in this council that have no idea who we are. They just don't know we even exist. So we're planning on changing that. So around this strategy, there's going to be a couple of different things. There's going to be things that corporately, collectively, we're all on board with. So they're going to be opportunities to go out and serve within our community at different events and find different ways in which we can just love and look after and serve our community. Let them know that we're here. Let them know that we love them and we care for them. There's going to be some marketing strategies to let people know we actually exist. There's going to be opportunities where we are inviting the community to come in here and experience who God is and what we think a great sense of family can be. We're also, the other focus of that is for you guys, the communities that you're involved in, the relationships that God has entrusted to you with family and workmates and colleagues and people from school and people from sporting clubs and stuff. That, I mean, it's such a privilege that God has given us these relationships. And so one of the things that we want to do is to encourage you, challenge you, resource you, provide training, provide opportunities for you to actually have significant impact for God in the community that you're existing in. So we're really excited about this one. It's something that we've kind of been waiting for God to give us the green light to go for. And we really feel like God has given us that green light. We've been praying since we started the church, that scripture in Luke 2:10, I think it is, where it says the harvest is plentiful, pray for the laborers. I don't know what your week's been like. The good news is I want to tell you, you guys are actually the answer to the prayer we've been praying for the last 10 years. So if you want to know what our community engagement strategy is, you. So we're really excited. So there's going to be heaps of opportunities. There's going to be things that we ask you all to get on board and support. There's going to be things where we're going to come to you and go, what do you need to impact your community? So the team is meeting. For all of these things, we're putting strategies together. We're planning. We're praying. We're looking for God ideas, not just good ideas. We're trusting for his timing. And we know when his hand of blessing is upon something, it's going to be significant. It's going to be amazing. We're looking forward to in a couple of years' time going, wow, look at what the Lord has done.
Does that sound good? Well, stay tuned, stay posted. Michael's overseeing all of this rollout of this strategic plan and specifically looking after the community engagement area. But I couldn't agree more in that, like, our prayer has been over numerous prayer meetings in various locations that God's had us, where we said, Lord, you said, pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers. And we've done that. And so God has brought people into this place. Some are coming to a relationship with Jesus for the first time and discovering their gifts and talents. And we want to see that developed and see you succeed in that. And other people that have been kind of mature faith and got brought people from other sides of the world and other states and different parts of Melbourne here so we can be mobilized together to impact. And you are an answer to our prayer, but I believe you're an answer to somebody else's prayer as well. We have amazing people in the life of this church. that God is starting to, I think, bring us together in a way like never before. The second thing that we see as a strategic focus area for us is our leadership pathway and training program. And I'm heading up this one. I'm passionate about this because I know that God's calling us to a season of training leaders in a way that we never have before for the future, not only of Compass, but to send people out. You know, if you don't know this yet, we're not too enamored by how many we gather. We're more interested about how many people we send as a church, sending people out to the workplace, to different ministries, to different things. And so the leadership development for me, over the years, I've attended lots of conferences, read lots, sort of studied leadership for about 23 years. So I'm a novice at it. But one thing I've noticed is with most leadership models, there's things I agree with, but there's a bunch of things that just haven't sat right for me. Or I just go, that's not a leadership model that I want to aspire to because I don't necessarily think it lines up with the way that Jesus did it. And so the model that kind of like has really captivated me for a number of reasons, I won't go into it here, but is the servant leadership model. And I believe it stems out of a Christ-like model. We see in Philippians chapter 2, we see John 13, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. We see Mark 10, these snotty upstarts coming to Jesus, his disciples, and going, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. How many people could go to their boss and get a good response? But these guys went to Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and said, we want you to do whatever we ask. Wow. Read for yourself in Mark 10 the response. But Jesus talks about being a servant. And he lived out of, he came to serve, not be served. And hopefully, if you're around long enough, hopefully you see some of that already. But we're looking to train a whole generation of leaders out of this servant leadership model that I believe is the most Christ-like. And so we're really, really excited about that initiative. And I'll be doing that with Chrissy Amuliati. So watch this space on that one.
So the next key focus area that we have is around the area of discipleship. So this was one of our key focuses areas 5 years ago when we first put our strategic plan and the vision document and stuff together. Out of all the things that we put in and came up with at that time, we've really only implemented a few of them. That's things like our pathway of discipleship and blokes and chicks and a few other things that came out of that. And so we're revisiting that and we're looking at what's next in the area of discipleship. That's going to be the question that the discipleship team is going to be asking you all individually is what's next for you. So Louise Roundtree is heading this one up. We're going to be looking at what does it look like to be in 3 stages of discipleship. So you are being discipled by someone, you're walking the journey with someone, and then you're also discipling other people because that's what we're called to do. So this will be one, again, that every person is going to be called to engage in. We're going to think it's really important moving forward for us in our personal growth and our development also as a church. So we'll let you know about that as these sort of things come to pass. But over the next sort of 3 to 6 months as the teams are working on this stuff, we'll keep you updated and we'll certainly be letting you know the opportunities to engage in discipleship.
The last one that we see as being critical, that is in terms of impacting, important, urgent for us as a church, the next steps. And this one is probably the one that's really kind of needing the most prayer at the moment. And that is the emphasis. If we're going to engage with our community and see families and people coming in, we've always had a heart that we want to have our kids and our youth looked after in the best way that we possibly can. My definition of excellence is doing the very best you can with what you've got and let God bless it. And I believe that our kids and our youth deserve the best. Now, I believe that our youth, under the leadership of Katie and Eldon, they're doing a great job. They're clear in their direction. They've got strategies, and they're building a great sense of momentum within the youth and teenagers and high school age. So when we say that youth and kids are this area, it's not to say that the youth ministry is not thriving and stuff. I think it's more around how we as a church as a whole integrate youth and how we can continue to support and serve the youth ministry better. Hopefully they felt supported and served, but you know, we want to do that even better. But as you may know, our kids ministry is in need of a new kids leader, guy, girl, couple, doesn't matter, whoever God wants. But let me just say, we don't want to just settle for anything. We want to find and get the very best for our kids that we can. Yeah. Our kids deserve the very best. And so we haven't found that person yet. Can you just be praying for our kids' leaders that God's got and he's speaking to hearts? I know that, but who they are, we don't know yet. But we just see this as a vital, crucial area in the future of our church, and we want to invest significantly into this area. So that's one that we really do need your prayer support on.
So we've just got three other areas which are probably more around how our church functions as a family. One of those is our volunteer recruitment. So for everyone who is currently serving within the life of the church, whether you're leading a life group or in the host team or sound or kids, thank you. For everyone who's not, thank you in advance for signing up. Katie is heading up that team. I was going to head up that team. My idea was just to put everyone's name on a roster and then yell at you if you didn't come. But Katie said that's not a good idea, so we're not doing that. But Katie is heading up that. We're believing we're going to grow. We're believing we're going to have more opportunity to do heaps of different things. So very simply, we're going to need your help. As a church family, we're going to need your help. So there will be times this year where we come and tap you on the shoulder and ask you to be a part of something. There will be times where we're hoping you'll put your hand up and ask to be a part of something. But if you are here and you've been here for 3-4 months and you're not currently serving, hey, guess what? You are going to have opportunity to. We're excited for you about that. Our other two key focus areas that we're just looking at are around our metrics and dashboard. Ian's heading this one up. So this is around how we use our data to just make our church run more efficiently, make sure we're measuring the right stuff, making sure that there aren't things that are falling through the gaps. So I know that one sounds riveting, but it's going to be really important for us as we do grow to care and look after people, because that's really what it's about. And then the last one that we've got is just around our communication. Nat's heading up that. That's just making sure that people know what they need to know in a timely manner. And so hopefully that'll improve things as we go. But if you've got any questions about any of them, those areas, what we're actually trying to achieve, we will fill you in on the goals and stuff of those. But please come and talk to me. I'd love to kind of go through them. If you're interested, if you've got ideas, if you've got any thoughts, please come and chat to me, because we're excited to see what God does with this space.
But we're just going to pray over that before we go any further. Who here would love this church to grow, because your family, your friends, your neighbours are kind of like just searching out and just actively kind of wanting to engage with the God thing? Put your hand up if you're with us. Cool, great. Who's ready to do the work for that to happen? I don't see as many hands right now. See, we want the outcome, but we don't like the process or the responsibility that comes with it. But, you know, we'll love you through that. We'll get you to a place where you get it. That's okay. We love you. We love you. But we're just gonna pray now. And if you'll join with me, if you've got that piece of paper with you, can you just put it in your hand and lay hands on it? And together as a church, if you have questions, make sure you see your life group leader or leaders, because we've gone over this with them, and they should be able to answer most of the questions you have. But we just believe in the power of unity. It is imperative. This can't happen without us all being on board it. And so if you have any questions or concerns that can help get you past whatever kind of is going to limit you from getting into that, then please just ask, please. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We believe that you're a God of order, not chaos, that you are a God that calls us to be structured and to plan. But yet in all of that, we know that we're called to be sensitive, because we can have plans, but it's your plans that succeed. So in our hands right now, Father, we just want to consecrate. We just want to lay down these 7 key focus areas. We want to commit them to you. We believe they're from you. We believe they're your word to us as a church in regards to direction. And so we're standing upon that with the arsenal of promises that we have to back each and every one of them. And so, Father, we ask your blessing. We ask for the teams. We ask for hearts to be moved. Even in this room this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to speak to hearts in this room of where people can actually get connected, or where they can seek out how they can present their gifts or talents. Because, Lord God, the body of Christ that we have, I believe, Father, you've given us everything we need to see this become reality. And what we don't have right now, you're already preparing in advance for us. And so we thank you by faith for the provision of the things we don't have, but we will have to see this become reality. So bless it. Give us wisdom. Help us to be wise stewards in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, cool. Grab a seat. For the next few minutes, what I want to just cover is a word that's been thrown out there a bit throughout Jan, and it's a word that's gathering momentum in my heart, in my spirit, for us as a church this year. Now, most of the times when you kind of throw out a word, yeah, I've got a word for, you know, for us, you know, we come up with different words in our home of it's going to be a year of whatnot. And one of my favorites, I have to admit, in our 23 years of marriage, is that Nat came out the year of snort laughing. And, you know, sometimes we just need to have more fun. Sometimes we just need to stop taking ourselves too seriously and actually have a bit more fun. And that is something I think we need to do more in church, but that's just me. We need more fun. But the word that's kind of growing in my spirit for us as a church, and I can't shy away from it, is it's just uncomfortable. That's actually the word. Yeah. I'm not saying the word is uncomfortable, but the word is uncomfortable. And it's not like the sexiest, oh yeah, I feel great. Yeah, let me get on board that one. It's real motivational and inspirational. And this morning I want to do my best just to give, I guess, a compass definition of what uncomfortable is. Because apparently I made up a word, uncomfortability. Arguably it is or isn't a word. Let's not get into the semantics. Please don't Google the Oxford or dictionary.com definition of uncomfortable. It's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about you and I making others uncomfortable, increasing anxiety and awkwardness in them because of... it's about personally us being uncomfortable. And I want to actually explain what I mean by that word, because... If we're going to get uncomfortable, and this is a whole church call, by the way. Okay, this is not select. This is not just for leaders. If Compass is your home, we're calling you this year to be willing to get uncomfortable. And by the end of this message, hopefully that makes sense and hopefully you're uncomfortable with it. Hopefully you have issues with it. I haven't had many emails for a while, so maybe today's the day where I kind of push some buttons. Great, I really don't care because this is a word for us. But if we're going to get uncomfortable, it means we've got to get out of our comfort zone. And all of us are in a comfort zone in some way, shape or form. Some of us may be stepping out in faith in some areas of our life, and it's a bit daunting and a bit scary, and that's great. And I encourage you in that, and go you. That is great. But for us as a church, all of us are in an area, a comfort zone, when it comes to living out and sharing our faith. And because of the immense... prompt that we've had, that God's calling us to live out and share our faith like never before, our comfort zone is going to look different for everybody in this room. So there are people that are quite comfortable and confident in sharing your faith quite boldly, and that's great. And others in this room have just never actually shared our faith with anyone. But we want to provide a place here at Compass, and I hope it's always the way, in life groups, conversations, groups with people, where we all kind of like are honest enough to just go, we're all a little bit screwed up and broken. No one in this room is perfect. And that we should feel safe to share kind of stuff like, hey, you know what? I've never actually shared my faith with anyone. I've never told someone about the Jesus, the God story of my life and the difference he's made and what that can do in their world and stuff. And that's okay. I know there are people in this room. And can I just say, it's okay. We want to have a place where you can share that. Just go, hey, I need your help. I need you to be praying for me. How do I do it? We want to train and we want to equip you, we want to give you resources on how you can actually do that. Whatever your comfort zone is, I'm calling you to be willing to get uncomfortable this year. You see, a comfort zone is a psychological state in which things feel familiar to a person and they are at ease and perceive they are in control of their environment, experiencing low levels of anxiety and stress. Who likes the sound of that? I'll come back to that in a minute. Low levels of anxiety and stress. In this zone, a steady level of performance is possible. Sounds like to me that's celebrating mediocrity. I don't think Jesus died on the cross, rose again in victory and power, made his power that created the universe available to us, that lives in us so that we could live mediocre lives. And I think some of the things about the comfort zone is, comfort zone is a situation in which you feel comfortable and in which your ability and determination are not being tested. It's my job as your pastor is to lovingly prompt and push you out of your comfort zone so you start to use your God-given talents and abilities for the extension of his kingdom and his glory. Yeah. What about this other thought about the comfort zone? Is a situation in which you feel comfortable and you do not have to do anything new or difficult. I know there's a bunch of people in this room who are just going, I love that space. I like my space. Too bad. Ain't going to happen. We love you too much. And there, I'll come to it in a sec. But our optimal performance zone is never inside the comfort zone. Your optimal performance zone is never inside that comfort zone. It's always outside of that. No, life begins at the outside edge of your comfort zone thereafter. And we're called to live abundant life. And I believe that God is calling us all to step into being uncomfortable. I think one of the challenges, and I want to come back to that kind of whole thing of just low levels of anxiety and stress. I think we live in a society, and on the one hand, rightly so, that there is a heightened awareness, sensitivity, and desire to deal with openly mental health issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, all of those sort of things. I get that they are legitimate mental health issues, but I think inadvertently what can happen is that anything that resembles stress or any form of anxiety, if I can put it like that, we kind of like just go, no deal, no way. And so if it causes me to be the slightest bit uncomfortable, I now have the so-called right to go, I don't want anything to do with that. But I want to remind us that even psychologists would say that there is good kind of stress, which is titled eustress. So this morning I want to create some eustress, not you being stressed, I want eustress. So what are some of the stimuli or catalysts that I believe should create a eustress in us? And I believe that people's eternal destinies are worth it. Think about that for a sec. Your brother, sister, mum, dad, cousin, work colleagues, neighbours, their eternal destiny, I think, is worth it. It's worth me getting out of my existing comfort zone to get into the courage zone. And I believe that, you know what, your purpose, your meaning, the reason that God created you unique and wonderful and there's no one else like you and there are certain things that you will bring to this body and there's certain things, more importantly, that you're meant to take to the community and society around about you, I believe it's worth it. I believe that's worth fighting for. I believe it's worth, as a pastor and as a team, us doing all we can and going the extra mile to provide you with every opportunity for you to be able to grow and develop into all that you are meant to be. I believe you're worth it. And I believe our church is worth it. The purpose and destiny that God's got for our life, I believe it's worth laying my life down for. And my family, we've done that because we believe in that. And let me tell you, if you don't think that creates stress, you need your head read. It's like there's plenty of other things that I could probably go and do and maybe be okay with and do all right with. But when you know in your knower, when you know deep within and you have that deep conviction of call, that this is what God has called you to do, you lose the luxury of choice. Can I just say, church, who's ever heard of the Great Commission? Go into all the world. That's not an optional lecture as a Christian. That is, God has called all of us to be mobilized to reach this lost and dying world with the only cure for the terminal disease called sin, and that is the name of Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. There's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. That's an incredibly arrogant thing to say. I didn't say it. God said it. Made the way through his one and only son. We either believe that or we don't. And if it's true, people's eternal destinies should create some eustress in our life. But we believe you're worth it. We believe that the people in your world are worth it. So if you have a look at this image on the screen, but if we are kind of in our comfort zone and we're going to step out of our comfort zone, what do you think are the main reasons that stop people from stepping out of their comfort zone? Help me out. What are the main reasons to stop people stepping out of their comfort zone? Fear? But yes, I would say, and arguably psychologists would say, that fear is a thing. And fear will manifest itself in a number of ways where when you have that sense of loss of control, when there's not knowing what's next or not knowing what the answer's going to be, we can sometimes shrink back and not want to actually step out of what we do know. And until the appeal or the reward of the next is greater than our current comfort zone, we will stay where we are. And that's why we need some eustress. That's why we need a fresh revelation of the importance of somebody else's eternal destiny, maybe to shift us out of our current apathy and complacency and comfort zone to actually do something about the good news of Jesus Christ. And so fear can manifest itself like that, just not knowing the answer. But can I just remind us, isn't that what faith is? Yeah. That when we actually act on a word from God that's based on his word, aligns with his word, that we just step out not knowing what the answer might be. Yeah. Isn't that what faith is? Because if you know what the answer is, it's not faith. Yeah. If you've got it all worked out, you know what the outcome's going to be, that's not faith. And if you live like that, I'm excited for you because there's a whole world of faith for you to live in. That's cool. But fear will manifest itself in a number of ways. And it sometimes we worry about what people think. What are they going to think about me if I talk about the God thing, or if I become known as the Jesus guy or the Jesus girl? And, you know, you're a Jesus freak. And will it affect my position and standing in the hierarchy and the pecking order? Will it affect my possibility for promotion? Will it affect my status in the social group in which I'm in? Will it affect the cars, the house, the cash? Will it mean that I might not get this, that, or the other? I would then question like this about where is your identity? Is your identity wrapped up in who you are, the title that you have at the door or on the desk or on your business card? Or is it the fact that I'm a son of the Most High God? I should be more concerned with He who will judge my soul and determine my eternal destiny than what man can do for me, do to me. And so it's like, where is your identity? But fear will manifest itself in another number of ways. So for any of us in this room personally, but also as a church, for us to achieve anything of significance, if we believe that God does have something greater for us, if we really believe that God's heart is to see this community in revival, and I believe that more than ever before, if we really believe that, then it's going to require all of us overcoming fear to get out of our comfort zone, whatever the fear is for you. So if fear is what's keeping us in the comfort zone, and we are heading towards a definition of what uncomfortable is for us here at Compass, by the way. All right, so I'm trying to go somewhere. So if fear keeps us in, what's the opposite to fear? Courage, faith, anointing, vulnerability, love, obedience, stepping out. They're all good answers, and I believe that there's elements of truth to that. But when I went to Scripture and I'm taking a look at what is the opposite from a maybe a biblical perspective, what's the opposite to fear? I believe it's love. You see, 1 John 4 verse 8 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And so what we have when we take a look at a biblical definition of what love is, and we take a look at an understanding of a definition of what fear is, we see that the two are totally conflicting and contrasting and at loggerheads. So the opposite to fear is love. And so for me, in your notes, actually, what you'll find is I've listed a whole bunch of scriptures there that will actually hopefully encourage you. How fear can be limiting, but God, who is love, has the power, the authority, and is greater than any fear we'll ever face. And that we shouldn't let fear stop us stepping out into the fullness of what God is calling us to do. So there are just some verses there for you to take a look at. So fear is the opposite of love, and love is the opposite of fear. So to get us out of our comfort zone, I believe we need a fresh revelation of love. Because think about this, we're called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength, right? Great, we're called to do that. The great commandment along with love the Lord your God with all your heart, whole strength, and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself, and then the great commission, go into the world, make disciples, okay? So if we think about loving the Lord our God with all our heart, if I'm in my comfort zone, and I stop actually focusing on, because our hearts are idol factories, as Tim Keller would say, so when something else other than God is number one in our life, then we've created an idol in our life. If we can put those aside and we can just come back to just a pure, raw, passionate love for Jesus, fall in love with Him more and more, we get a greater revelation of who we are, whose we are, and we don't care about those other things that are the contributing factors to the fear that's holding us in. So when we get a reminder and a revelation of the love of God, suddenly it's like, who here in this room's ever been in love? Yeah. You've been in love. Oh, yeah, I can see the arms going around. And hey, stop kissing, you two. I saw that. It's church, really? That can't happen in church. So when you are in love, when I was falling in love with Nat, you know, there was nothing I wouldn't do to try and impress her. And I knew Michael when he was dating Holly and was looking to ask Holly to marry him. And like, you have this idea of who Michael is, right? He's got the big boy stickers on his arms and he's kind of buff and he's, you know, he's the bloke and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, and he gets on the phone to Holly and I'm in the room next to him. He's like, hi, Hol. What'd you do today? Like, I don't know what that voice is, you know, like when guys like, come on, blokes, don't look at him like that. And you can't, because I know you did it too when you were trying to impress the girl of your dreams. I know you do that. Like, but it's just the things we do, right? Because like the reality is when I'm falling in love with Nat, I'm doing all I can to find out what does she like. Yeah. And like I'm a gifts guy, so I'm kind of like, what can I buy Nat? Like roses and flowers, and went out on a limb and bought her a dress from Dimaru. Does anyone remember Dimaru? Where did that come from? It was like this emerald green dress, and I took her to the Phantom of the Opera. I was the man. Seriously, blokes, if you're struggling, come and talk to me. I reckon I do all right in this stuff. Right? The dress actually fit. I was like, score. No idea what I was doing. But here I'm like just doing stuff, and I didn't tell any of my mates, right? I'm just like, you know, don't. But I'm like, when you fall in love with Jesus, when when you kind of come into that relationship with the lover of your soul, that no one else can love you like he does. When he's kind of dealt with and he knows all your crap, he knows all the stuff, and he just loves you anyway. He loves you because he loves you, not because of what you can do or who you are, what degree, what you own, what you've done or how smart you are. It doesn't matter. He just loves you for who you are, and suddenly you're falling in love with him. I didn't care what people thought about me as I was falling in love with Nat. And I'm just like, I don't care what you think. She's the hottest chick on the planet. She's amazing. My gosh, Elle McPherson's got nothing on that. Like, you know, I'm just like, you don't care. Isn't that what love does? Yeah. And Scripture says that all that we do should be motivated out of that love. Imagine kind of our interactions are motivated out of a heart of love. How people would receive that, just pure unconditional love. That's another sermon in and of itself. But when we talk about the opposite of fear being love, it's kind of weird, don't you think, that we would come up with, or the Bible and especially Jesus would announce that the opposite to fear would be love, because the words that came out, I think, are probably the ones that if you ask people at work tomorrow, would probably actually give you that answer of courage and bravery and boldness and valor, etc., would be maybe at the top of the list, not necessarily love. But can I remind us, isn't that what Jesus came to inaugurate and announce? And he started a revolution of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness and kindness and humility and putting others before yourself. And all of that was motivated out for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So everything that we do should be motivated out of this love. Okay, so this leads me, finally, you say, finally, wrap this bad boy up. Finally, our definition of what does it mean to be uncomfortable at Compass? If I'm actually going to give a definition of this, it'll be way too easy for me just to give a sentence or two saying, at Compass, this is what we believe uncomfortable is. Way too easy. But this is a call to action. I'm calling us as a church. God is calling us as a church. I believe God is calling us as a church. Our call to action is to be uncomfortable this year. And I can't just give a statement. I have to answer that question with a question. So if I was to ask, what is our definition of being uncomfortable at Compass? It's with this question. What does love require of me today? What does love require of me today? Andy Stanley kind of put it, he said, what does love require of me? But when I was thinking about it, I go, no, this is a daily call to action. This is a daily call for us to engage with people in our world, because when you're thinking about that person that annoys the hell out of you and you actually ask yourself, what does love require of me today, it's going to change the way you think, but hopefully it's going to change the course of action that you're about to take with them. Because love would require me to be patient, to be kind, to season my language with salt. I can speak the truth in love. I'm interacting with people in my life. My motivation is, okay, how do I love this person today? How do I show Jesus today? How do I show God in this situation today? So that's a question that answers the question, what does it mean to be uncomfortable at Compass? Is asking yourself the question daily, what does love require of me? Does that make sense? Yeah. Because when we answer that question, I believe it's going to shift us out of our comfort zone, because love is the driver and the motivator, and we're immersed and we're drenched and we're captivated and in awe of love, that we step into the courage zone, which will in fact, after the courage zone, where we begin to make impact. And that's why we put impact at the end of that image. And that's when we begin to make impact. So for each of us this year, to have the significant impact that I believe God's called us to be, we have to ask that question, what does love require of me today? The president of the Reserve Bank of San Francisco was asked about her success, and one part of the answer was, I just got really comfortable with being uncomfortable. I got really comfortable with being uncomfortable. So to be outstanding, my desire for you in your life is to be outstanding, is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Or if I feel uncomfortable, I must be doing something right. So let's wrap this up. In 2020, all of us are going to have an opportunity in different ways, and it'll be different for each of us, to be uncomfortable. And there's the church call. All together, we're called to actually be asking that question in terms of living out and sharing my faith. What does love require of me today in my situation? But also believe that there's personal application for this. That for each of us in this room, God is going to call us in an individual area of our lives to be uncomfortable. getting out of our comfort zone. For some of us, that comfort zone is just coming and attending, you know, semi-regularly here at church. Maybe for you to be uncomfortable this year, it's actually getting engaged with a particular department or joining the host team or helping out with grommets or kids or serving in some capacity. For some of you, it may be kind of heeding the call to step up and actually go through some leadership development stuff that we want to actually present. For some of us in this room, it might actually be kind of coming to church weekly. That could make you really uncomfortable. But then you start to realize that, you know what, as I start to do that, or if I get into a life group and I commit to that and I'm uncomfortable because I'm meeting new people and it's a bit weird, and don't worry, if you don't like that life group, go and check out another one, that's fine. But like, you just get into community and you start to realize, well, I'm starting to build deep and meaningful relationships. I'm actually starting to experience community, which is what we're supposed to be about. But can I just say that when you come, my heart is, I hope, wishful thinking, I hope you get blessed. I hope you learn stuff. I hope that in some way that you're becoming more like Jesus. I hope that's the case. But can I just remind you that in some way, I guarantee you at some point you will be the answer to somebody's prayer. Yeah. So it's not just about you. Yeah. But if you're coming once every 4 or 6 weeks, you can't build meaningful relationships. And don't say to me that you don't feel connected if you're not here regularly. I can't make that choice for you. Yeah. It's our choice of whether we want to get connected. And the reason I'm saying this is not to try to get bums on seats. It's actually kind of when we're together and we're united as a family in what God wants us to do, the difference and the impact and the influence that we can have in our community and our society in this city grows significantly. It grows significantly. So there's going to be a personal challenge for each of us this year in that space. So my last thing, your mission, should you choose to accept it. If you get on board with being uncomfortable this year, guess what it's going to mean? Are you ready? It will mean you will be scared. It will mean you will fail. Gee, thanks, Pastor Phil. I mean, far too often in churches, we think we've got to have all our crap together. Let me just enlighten you. No one in this room has all their crap together. And if you're trying to pretend you've got all your stuff together, we know you don't. It's okay. And we want this to be a safe place where you can work through that. But when you make, I tell our leaders all the time, I want you guys to try stuff. And if you fail, it's okay. I'd rather you try to find out and to work out what works as opposed to just keep doing the same thing and getting no result. So I encourage people, but you will fail if you choose to get uncomfortable. You will learn and grow. You'll see yourself in a different way. You'll see others differently. It will energize you and create greater focus in your life. You will develop new skills and create a new comfort zone, which is really exciting because at some point you'll be called out of that one too. You will reap fruit that will last. And this is not complicated. What's the prerequisites? Just that you love Jesus and make yourself available. Not complicated, simple. So on your notes, well, you got the little bit, what's next? There are some things there for you to think about. You know, being here this month to hear about further elaboration around our Vision Month and what it means to be uncomfortable. At the end of this month, we've got Christian McCudden, guest speaker, coming. And he's fantastic. One of the things I've been talking to Christian about is we want that to be a commissioning service for us as a church, Saturday night, Sunday morning, because in Acts it says, you shall receive power from on high to be my witnesses. So I love the Holy Ghost, and I love the manifestations, and I love the gifts, the operation of the gifts, and I love all of that stuff, but sometimes we've got to come back to, you shall receive power from on high to be my witnesses. Yeah. So if you're freaking out about telling people about Jesus, number one, you're normal, but you don't have to be afraid. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but he's given us his spirit, the power that we need to actually engage with in a loving way the people that are around us. And that last weekend of this month is going to be all about just commissioning us as a church to fill the Great Commission in this city. And the last thing I'll say is that Lent starts on Feb 26th. And as a church, we're just going to be asking you to, we see that as a time of consecration, as prayer, of fasting. Maybe for some of us, the time that we take to actually spend in prayerful consideration before the Lord around, okay, I want to get uncomfortable this year. I want to step out that I'm going to actually pray and fast, Lord, to actually for you to equip and empower me to be able to do that this year. And we're going to use Lent as a way to do that as a church, but also personally, there may be some things that you want to get out of your comfort zone with. And so this morning, we just want to leave you with those thoughts. Anything that's been shared here today, we'd love to chat with you about.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.